So if you turn your Bibles with me to chapter 50, verse 33. This is what the Lord Almighty says. The people of Israel are oppressed. The people of Judah as well. All the captors hold them fast, refusing to let them go. Yet the Redeemer is strong. The Lord Almighty is His name. He will vigorously defend their cause so that He may bring rest to their land, but unrest to those who live in Babylon. A sword against the Babylonians, declares the Lord, against those who live in Babylon and against her officials and wise men. A sword against her false prophets. They will become fools. A sword against her warriors. They will be filled with terror. A sword against her horses and chariots and all the foreigners in her ranks. They will become women. A sword against her treasures. They will be plundered. A drought on her waters. They will dry up, for it is a land of idols, idols that will go mad with terror. So desert creatures and hyenas will live there, and there the owl will dwell. It will never again be inhabited or lived in from generation to generation, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah along with the neighboring towns, declares the Lord. So no one will live there, no man will dwell in it. Look, an army is coming from the north, a great nation and many kings are being stirred up from the ends of the earth. They are armed with bows and spears. They are cruel and without mercy. They sound like the roaring sea as they ride on their horses. They come like men in battle formation to attack you, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard reports about them, and his hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped him, pain like that of a woman in labor, like a lion coming up from Jordan's thickets to a rich pasture land. I will chase Babylon from its land in an instant. Who is the chosen one I will appoint for this? Who is like me, and who can challenge me? And what shepherd can stand against me? Therefore, hear what the Lord has planned against Babylon, what He has purposed against the land of the Babylonians. The young of the flock will be dragged away. He will completely destroy their pasture because of them. At the sound of Babylon's capture, the earth will tremble. Its cry will resound among the nations. And Father, as we read this passage, bringing us close to the ending passages in Jeremiah's prophetic words and teachings, we pray that we will understand more of this, how it applies to our lives, in this case, 2,700 years later. And yet it does, we know, apply. So help us to understand this, to learn from this, and be blessed as we take the readings and the teachings from Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, the Old Testament writings, and apply it in our lives as we study and open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to continue this evening in Jeremiah chapter 50. We've been hearing the word of the Lord spoken through Jeremiah concerning Babylon. Listen to what we heard. This is the word the Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet concerning Babylon and the land of the Babylonians. Announce and proclaim among the nations. Lift up a banner and proclaim it. Keep nothing back, but say, Babylon will be captured. Bel will be put to shame. Marduk filled with terror. Her images will be put to shame and her idols filled with terror. A nation from the north will attack her and lay waste to her land. No one will live in it. Both men and animals will flee away. The reason for this judgment against Babylon is clear. In verses 17 through 18 we read, Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria. And this last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I am going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished Melech Esariah, the king of Assyria. Babylon had done great harm to God's people. They justified their actions by saying, we're not guilty, because it is they who have sinned against the Lord. Even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. But God holds Israel's enemies accountable for their actions against God's people. God has judged all the other nations that have brought harm to Israel, even using Babylon now. Babylon itself will face God's judgment. This judgment is so fierce, Jeremiah warns those in Babylon to leave there, saying, flee from the midst of Babylon and go forth from the land of Chaldeans. In the midst of this, though, something even more remarkable is happening. Once again, we do not have the final word. The focus is not solely on judgment. The focus is actually on suddenly shifting to Yisrael, to Israel. Immediately in verses 4 and 5 we read, in those days at that time, declares the Lord, the people of Israel and the people of Judah together will go in tears to seek the Lord their God. They will ask the way to Zion and turn their faces toward Zion. They will come and bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. The people of God will turn back to God. Their time for judgment is now over. In judgment for their disobedience and rebellion against God, against following God and against trusting in God, they were taken captives in Babylon. Now the time for the redemption of God's people has come. And what a redemption it is. The people will turn again and seek God. And they will do even more than just seeking God. They will, Jeremiah says, bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. Regarding this covenant, this berit, God said in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 40, I'll make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them. This is the everlasting covenant. He's saying, I will not turn away from you. Do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. God's people will be restored. God has declared, they will keep my people and I will be their God, and God is keeping that promise. God is also keeping his promise to his enemies. Deuteronomy 32:35, concerning the enemies of the people of God, God declares, vengeance is mine. And now in verse 15 of Jeremiah 50, God proclaims, this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on Babylon. As she has done to others, so do so to her. Indeed, this vengeance belongs to the Lord, because while enemies came up against God's people, who they were really fighting against was Almighty God. Verse 24 says, I set a snare for you, and you were caught, O Babylon, while you yourself were not aware. You have been found and also seized. Why? Because you've engaged in conflict with the Lord. Now Babylon's day has come. That's verse 31. The time has come when God will punish Babylon. God says in verse 29, repay Babylon according to her work, according to all that she has done. So do to her, for she has become arrogant against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Reminiscent of Israel's captivity in Egypt, we read in verse 33, thus says the Lord of hosts, the sons of Israel are oppressed, and the sons of Judah as well, and all who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. And so Jeremiah declares in verse 34, their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. Continuing from verse 35 of chapter 50, we're told just what this turmoil is. We're told that a sword is upon the Babylonians. Five times in three short verses, a sword is mentioned. coming against Babylon. It's a powerful sword. It's a sword in which nothing can stand against it. It is even upon the princes and the wise men. That sword, though, comes not from Israel, but from those who have even more force and power. The Persians and the Medes are given by God the act of assailing and destroying Babylon. Jeremiah sees how the Babylonian host are boasting now about their smarts, their wisdom. And this wisdom is being challenged by Jeremiah because he says in verse 35 that their wisdom is placed on astrology. In other words, they are considering themselves wise because of the way they live astrologically. And that is not, nor can it ever be, wisdom at all. In Isaiah 47, verses 13 and 14, we read of Babylon, "You are wearied with your many counsels. Let now the astrologers, those who prophesy by the stars, those who predict by the new moons, stand up and save you from what will come upon you. Behold, they have become like stubble. Fire burns them. They cannot deliver themselves from the power of the flame. The lives of those in Babylon are run by the stars." And that, Jeremiah says, that is no wisdom at all. He says that their oracle priests are nothing but fools and liars. And their devotion to the stars for the purpose of astrology, without admitting its uselessness, is why they get known as liars. They're bringing up falsehood about what they believe can bring truth and healing and help to the people of God, because it can't, is what Jeremiah is saying, it can't come from worshiping the stars in the sky. It can only come from worshiping God. In verse 36, we read that the sword of the Lord is upon these liars. As valiant as they may be, nonetheless, this sword shall bring them great distress. In verse 37, we learn that this sword will also be upon their horses and their chariots, as well as all those mingled people who are in her midst. It's going to be a big mess of people being reached and hit by the judgment of God under Jeremiah's leadership. And Jeremiah now declares that even Babylon's horses will perish. Everything that gave them power and security is being removed from them. Verse 38 predicts a drought that's going to dry up the entire land. Verse 39 adds to the calamity. What will be left will bring even deeper distress to the people, for they will soon see that where once there was a powerful, prosperous nation, the wild beasts of the desert and the islands will now dwell there, and that never again will it be inhabited. That is what they are learning. Their lands, their rivers, their fields will never be inhabited. It will be uninhabited forever. In case they doubt God's word about this, they're reminded of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's described in verse 40 as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the neighboring cities. So too will such destruction be in this day. No man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. Jeremiah said that Babylon would become desolate, solitary, so that no one will dwell there, nor remain there. And he concludes that it will be this way forever, from age to age. The overwhelming despair of the Babylonian people is because they see nothing but one thing, the vengeance of God. Now, in case we're tempted to condemn these people, we need to remember that what has separated us from these Sodomites is the mercy of God alone. God's mercy to us. We too have sinned, And we too have actually deserved the same destruction, and the Lord has spared us according to his infinite goodness. Jeremiah, though, makes it clear to those facing destruction, although it's God's judgment that they're facing, it is from a destruction under the hands of a people coming from the north. He's speaking of a great nation and many powerful kings. The Babylonians had to know that no matter what they would do to defend themselves, it would be to no avail. Jeremiah, seeing and by this point understanding all of what's taking place, says that the nations from the north that are bringing this judgment and destruction are to be prepared as a man. They are so coordinated and powerful that are attacking in one cohesive whole. They're gathering together for one cohesive whole. And then in verse 43, we read that the king of Babylon has heard this report, and his fingers have waxed feeble. This is the mighty king of a mighty empire, and yet the forces coming against him are so terrible that distress has gripped him. Anguish has taken hold of him. Jeremiah is saying that as soon as the report of war reached the Babylonians, they would be so disheartened through fear that they would become just like an already conquered people. They wouldn't have to be conquered. As soon as they see the armies coming against them, they know it's over. They know they are defeated and destroyed. In verse 44, Jeremiah says that the Babylonians have trusted in vain in their own defense. After they had tried everything, they would find that everything that was set up against God and his invincible power would be mere smoke. In other words, anyone fighting against God will be fully and finally defeated. You see, even the most powerful Babylonian leaders could, in these circumstances, only expect to be defeated because they were choosing to fight against God. Plain and simple. Fight against God. God reminds them in verse 44, "For who is like me, and who will summon me into court? And who then is the shepherd who can stand before me?" The answer is, no one. And then in verse 45 we are told, "Therefore hear the plan of the Lord, which he has planned against Babylon, and his purposes, which he has proposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely even the least of the flocks, even the least of the flocks will be dragged off. Surely he will make their habitation desolate to them." They will be a desolate people. Everything will be robbed from them. I don't mean robbed, taken. They'll be taken, and they will be left with nothing. And speaking of the plan or counsel of God, Jeremiah is speaking of the thoughts of God. The counsel of God is the thoughts of God. What is to happen to Babylon is part of an irrevocable decree of God which he had formed. This is the final ruin of Babylon from which they cannot ever be restored. Notice the force of God's judgment on Babylon in verse 46. The final verse, that is, of chapter 50. We read that at the noise at the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved and the cry is heard among many nations. The battle of the destruction of Babylon will continue. It continues, by the way, in the next chapter, chapter 51, and the 64 verses that are in chapter 51. And I just think to myself, 64 verses, oh my. I don't know if I can do that before I retire. But we'll see how far I can get with it. I plan to get all the way with the rest of this. Friends, as we close our teaching tonight, please make sure you know where you are in relationship to Jesus. Because there are only two options. Either you are part of the people of God, or you are part of the enemies of God. Either you are a believer or else you possess the failure of Babylon. Even now, if you do not know Jesus, I urge you to open your heart to Jesus and be saved from your sins. As we've seen tonight, If you're fighting against God, you cannot win, you will not win, you will be destroyed. This is not just temporary judgment, but eternal damnation. Hebrews 10:31 says to us, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so just as Jeremiah urged the Babylonians to flee and escape God's judgment, so too do I urge you to flee from sin, flee from your rebellion against God, and flee to Jesus. I urge you to make your salvation sure. It's only in the shelter of Jesus that you're safe. If you have any questions about entering into such a relationship, about entering into such faith, I would be pleased to discuss these with you and answer them wherever it's needed for you. And belonging to God, how should we then live? We need to be living in one way, ultimately, in a God-honoring way. This morning, I tried to clarify some things so that you could get an idea of how we can do that, the kinds of behaviors that we and beliefs that we can develop and do that are biblical, that will help us to live a life in relationship with the Lord our God. And even in our battles, we remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, because in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. God will protect his people. God will bring about justice against all those who in any way harm his people. God keeps his promises. God has an everlasting, eternal covenant with us, his people. Be comforted. Be encouraged by this. You see, friends, if you're a true believer in Jesus, you know what you are? You are secure in his love and care for you now and forever. As he says, to encourage you with that, I mentioned something that he says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you forever. And this, friends, is the hope that's in front of us, in front of you. Don't let anything keep you from that relationship with Jesus. All kinds of things will come to seduce you from that. Don't let anything turn you or keep you from a serious, lifelong, eternal, long relationship with Lord King Jesus. It's your life forever that we're talking about. Don't let anyone or anything keep you from it. Father, we can be going back 2,700 years, but it seems to me the battles are the same. The dangers are the same. The concerns of God for us are the same. The things we fail at seem to often be the same as they failed at. So Lord, help us to realize it's easy to fail, it's easy to sin, but it's also right there that God is ready always to forgive us and cleanse us from any sin, any unrighteousness. Help us to have you in the centerpiece of and the heart of our lives, living for you, being with you, trusting you, and surrendering all we are and we have for you and for your sake and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.